You, my friends, are invited to a party. That is correct. We are going to have a celebration, a gay old time, a festival. That's right, a fabulous friendship festival, loving wildly, learning deeply, living fully with our friends. And one of our friends is Sark, and she's going to be joining us in just a moment as we get ready to tell her story. And she's going to tell us her story and how she got involved in all of this wonderfully succulent and delicious eating of mangoes naked, among other things. So stay tuned. And that is what we do here on Tell Me Your Story. Walk and talk together, try to understand one another's story and share those ideas and concepts and feelings and all of the good stuff of life that brings us together as a community, as a family, no matter how large or small that family is. And I have to say that I'm honored by having one of my family members. I consider her one. Sark, she is with us, and you're in San Francisco. Welcome to our program live here on a Saturday morning here in Santa Barbara.
Thank you so much, Richard. Let's be sure to let people know that SARC stands for Susan Ariel Rainbow Kennedy.
And I remember my first comment to you was, so you grew up in the 60s, did you? It was a lot of fun. We've spoken on a number of occasions and had a great deal of fun, and your books are a great deal of fun, all 14 of them, especially the 14th, which is the Fabulous Friendship Festival. And I do want to let our listeners know that this book and some of the other books by Sark are available locally here in Santa Barbara at one of our local bookstores, Paradise Found, at 17 East Anapamu. I believe that's 17 East Anapamu. It's Paradise Found, and I will confirm that address before we go too much further. But Sark, I want you to know how much fun it is to have you on the program. Each time we get together, it is a joy, and that is what you are wanting to tell people about, the joy of living life. I think one of the greatest words that you use is the word succulent.
Oh, yes, when I wrote Succulent Wild Woman, which was my statement, which is my statement of self-liberation. And, yeah, the word succulent. And thinking of people as succulent, you know, succulent plants get their water from the inside. They're able to replenish themselves. They get their water from the outside, but then they store it, mm-hmm. and they feed it to themselves. And that's what I think of. I think of the best of people doing for themselves is to be their own succulent wild self.
How long did it take you to get to this place? I mean, were you like this even as a child? Did you manage to retain it as you grew, or was there one of those wonderful little milestones in life at the age of 20 or 25 or something of that nature? Because you're only, what, 30, 32 years now?
I am now happy 53.
Woohoo!
Yeah, you know, I, as many people were, had a wonderful childhood and an abused childhood. So there was quite a bit of abuse in the family. I was molested by an older brother, and it caused me to live inside my imagination. So I basically clambered up into the branches of the apple tree and read books and basically decided to live inside of worlds other than the one I was actually living in. Mm-hmm. And during that time, I made a best friend, and his name was Mr. Boggs. And he was 80 years old, and he lived in the neighborhood, and he loved me. And so I went there every day to see Mr. Boggs, and he called me his twirly friend because I used to do wheelies in his driveway. And he wanted to teach me to look close and to look far, so he bought me a microscope and a telescope. And then he also tried to teach me to play chess, but that didn't work because I was too impatient. So Mr. Boggs then got very sick and went into the hospital, and my mother came and said to me, you know, listen, he's quite old and he probably won't make it back out. And I said, well, then I need to send him something for every day he's in there. So every day for a month, I sent him something in the mail. And he did get out. And when he did, he said, I think you saved my life. He said, no one else called or wrote while I was in the hospital. He said, and I had to get out to see you. And I came and said to my mother, I'm supposed to be a beacon of hope and write books for the world. And then she said, eat your peanut butter sandwich. But that was the beginning, and I wrote my first book that summer when I was 10 years old. And then classically, especially people who've been abused, I was classically a perfectionist and a procrastinator and basically didn't write anything until I was in my 30s and then was not published until I was 35.
Wow.
So I've written a book a year since. I had a lot stored up.
I want to go back to your friend who is 80. It would be wonderful for every one of us, especially as a child, to have a friend like that, that we could be mentored by. Because
yes,
that sounds like it's exactly what he was to.
Well, exactly. And it would be wonderful for all of us to realize that we can be that person to another person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that it doesn't take that much. I mean, he was kind and loving to me, and he spent time with me. And I, you know, it changed, it completely changed my life, yes.
I bring that up because it's one of those things that today, in today's world, sadly, we're all afraid of one another. And this is what we want to try to talk about, getting through it, around it, over it, under it, whatever, that fear of one another. And I don't know, are there reasons that we should be afraid of one another, Sark?
Well, I have a different perspective. I don't think we're any more afraid than we ever used to be, and I frankly think feel very strongly that the world is better than it's ever been. So I hold the view that if people are afraid, first of all, it's just a story that they're telling themselves. You know, we all tell stories because we get scared. Oh, I can't go talk to that person on the beach because I don't know what they might say or what they might not say. And realizing that we can all be a lot braver and realize how connected we all are and how similar we all are. We all start thinking that we're not like anyone else. And then you start really talking to people and you find out that we're all a lot like everybody else.
Hmm.
And let me tell you a story from the friendship book. You know,
mm-hmm.
I there's a lot in there, which we'll, of course, talk about. But one of the things is people ask me all the time, you know, you seem to make friends so easily. And I do, and I have all my life. And it's something that I just love doing. So I tell people, make sure you look for someone, you know, if you want to make friends, if you'd like to make new friends, look for someone who looks like your friend. And it sounds so obvious, but people forget this and think that they can't somehow do this. So I give a demonstration of this where I was on the beach and here was this woman with this straw hat and these funny socks and I thought, there's my friend. And so I went over and struck up a conversation. And I struck it up by talking about the starfish that had been washed up on the beach. Well, we started in talking about all sorts of things and then started walking together. And before we knew it, 2 hours had passed and we had so much in common and we were sitting on the dock of the bay, and someone wrote a song.
Let us break out
that.
In song. Open your hymnals.
And we were talking about literature, which is one of my favorite subjects, and so we talked all about all kinds of literature, and then I couldn't resist. I said, well, do you ever read any personal growth books? And she said, well, what do you mean? She said, what do you mean? Books like Sark? And I said,
No, I don't read those. No.
And I said, well, yeah. And she said, ah, oh, she said, I cannot read that woman. And I said, oh, and I said, why not? And she said, well, don't get me wrong. I think the books are great, and I give them to friends, but I myself can't read them. And I said, well, why do you think that is? And she said, well, they're just a little too much, and then she made the quotation mark around the sentence. They're just a little too much treat yourself. And I said, so you don't treat yourself? And she said, no, she said, I'm from New Jersey. And I said, so you don't treat yourself in New Jersey? She said, not really.
Oh my gosh.
So now I'm faced with something awkward. You know, what do I do? So I said, I have something kind of awkward to tell you. And she said, what? And I said, I'm that woman. And she said, what woman? I said, the one you can't read. And there was a silence, and she said, shit.
Okay.
So that was, or I guess I should have said shoot. Well, anyway, the point is she was very shocked and horrified and but amused. You know, the whole thing was hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
What would be the chances that you would meet the person that you were talking about?
Well, and that's why it's always so important to know your audience. And we do know our audience, and we want to let our listeners know that our guest here is Sark, and she is the author of Fabulous Friendship Festival. It's Loving Wildly, Learning Deeply, Living Fully with Our Friends. It is available locally here in Santa Barbara at the Paradise Found Bookstore. It is at 17 Annapoomoo. That's 17 East Annapoomoo, and just off of State Street here in Santa Barbara. Beautiful place to live and grow up. My wife was born and raised here. I am a transplant. I know that when people moved to my hometown of Phoenix, Arizona, when I was growing up and as I was in broadcasting there, many of them would say, oh, I'm a native. I've been here X number of years. Well, they weren't born there, and I'm thinking, okay, so how long do I have to be here in Santa Barbara before I can refer to myself as a native? Which takes on a whole other context if you go native, but you better do that in the privacy of your own home, which kind of leads us into Eating Mangoes Naked, which was another book that you've written, along with a whole bunch, a plethora of books, including, as you've already mentioned, The Succulent Wild Woman, The Bodacious Book of Succulents, as well as Make Your Creative Dreams Real. And, Sark, that is one of the focal points of this program. We provide these programs and guests such as yourself with books such as The Fabulous Friendship Festival to provide choices and provide knowledge of those choices so that the listeners can basically make their dreams come true. And when you refer to this woman from New Jersey who says she doesn't treat herself, well, that's really her loss. But when you think about it, if you hadn't done what you did, that would be our loss. But we wouldn't know that we'd lost something. And that's the sad fact, is that we're not out there fulfilling our dreams and making reality those things that we imagined, especially as children.
Well, yes, and everyone, isn't it so true, Richard? Everyone is so full of so much wonder and magic. You know, in my book, Make Your Creative Dreams Real, I was writing the book on deadline, and I got very crabby at a certain point, and I thought, oh, I can't do another word. I have to get out of here. And I went out for a walk, basically in search of magic, because I was so crabby.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw this man scurrying down the stairs wearing this beret and carrying an artist's easel, and I thought, there's my magic. And so I started to talk to him, and he revealed that he paints landscapes on the streets of San Francisco and has done so for 30 years and, of course, had lots of stories and was a fabulous guy. And I said, well, I just, you know, I'm just writing a book, and I got very crabby and I had to get out. And he said, well, I hope you just tell people that it's all about letting the wonders inside out. And I said, well, that's so funny, because that's just what I wrote before I left the house. And he said, well, that's proof. We're all connected, and we're all thinking all the same things, and we can all support each other. And it was such a beautiful moment. And, of course, I came back and with renewed energy, and, you know, it was exactly what I needed to finish the rest of that book.
I've run into a few people like that on my sojourns through my life when I'm out working and going from place to place, and suddenly someone just crosses your path for sometimes an instant.
Yes.
And says something or looks at you a certain way, and it's like, boom, wow, oh man, I just feel fantastic. And sometimes you don't even know why.
Well, yes, and you can open yourself so much to those moments even more so that you see them all the time. And people, I think, forget that they have that capacity.
You know, it's funny. My mother asked me many years ago if I ever had experienced any supernatural kinds of things in my life. And I used to think of the teacher Jesus, and that the things he did, for example, that are written about, to him, they were just natural occurrences in his life. There was nothing extraordinary to him, but to people around him, they were. So I said, well, if I've experienced any, you know, supernatural things, not that I've done, I'm not saying done them, but seen them or heard them, what have you, I said, I wouldn't know the difference, because this, to me, it's just like, that's just part of life.
Yes.
And
yes.
So you're talking about a magical thing happening between yourself and another person, or even the animals. And matter of fact, I don't think I'm going to be able to flip right back to it, but you have a section here regarding to furry friends love deeply.
Yes.
And
fur friends love deeply.
Fur friends. And we have a lot. Well, we have feathered friends and fur friends in our home. We have a little chicken farm, and we have two dogs and four cats, and they are just, it's incredible. I don't know that my life would be as full and as rich today without them.
Right. Well, they are our perfect unconditional love teachers, aren't they?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Certainly would not want to test this theory that no matter how you treated an animal up to a certain point, certainly, that they're always going to come back to you. But that it seems to be the case that, you know, even if you're angry and frustrated and what have you, and you don't show them much attention for a while, they're still going to come up to you and they're going to nuzzle you and they're going to lick you and they're going to say, hey, I'm here and I'm here for you. And that's one of the things that I've acknowledged is that they're not just our pets.
Oh,
but
no.
They're there for us. They're also barometers for us of sometimes how we're doing or how a situation is going in a family, aren't they?
Oh, yes. Yes. Fantastic teachers. I don't know if we talked about Jupiter. That was my fantastic big black cat that I lived with for 17 years.
I was going to ask you about her.
Yes, and he died just about 3 years ago now. Mm. And what a, of course, just unbelievably wrenching, sad time. And also beautiful time because he showed me so much about life and about letting go and about love. And so I'm actually, he's the I guess you would call him the godfather of a book I'm working on right now called Glad for the Grief. And my mother had also died the year before, so I'm writing a book about the joys and gratitudes that grief brings, not just what it appears to take away.
It's interesting because my wife and I have had to put down three of four animals. They were part of a pack of Siberian Huskies who were runners. They were sled pullers. But they were family members, and they were wonderful, and I've had an opportunity to live with them for 6 or 7 years. But then, of course, one by one, they reached the age where we had to put them down, and the first one was really hard. And I thought, okay, and maybe this will get a little easier. And it just got harder with the second one and even harder with the third. Fortunately for the fourth, we were actually able to let him go naturally.
Yeah.
And it was so, what a difference. I mean, we knew that it was coming. We didn't know when, but it was much less of a shock.
Yes.
And it was such, I don't know, there was some love there. There was some incredible love going on there that, and we kept telling him, you can go anytime. It's okay. And he was not in any pain.
Yes.
I want to assure people of that. There was no pain involved. He was just old.
Yes.
And he knew
it,
too.
Well, and let's remember and let's remind people, too, everybody chooses their way to die, and
yeah.
That includes the animals. So there really is no difference, you know, and we make a big difference. Like, did they die on their own or did they die with help?
Yeah.
It really doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And it's a good thing to remember because, and the other thing with people's deaths that I really want people to hear is that people ordain who is to be there when they die. And it's just like a birth. And if you're not meant to be with that person when they die, you will be prevented from it. Absolutely.
Mm.
Even if you think you're supposed to be there.
Do you think that it's any kind of a special honor or privilege to be there when someone passes?
Oh, absolutely I do, but I don't think it can be controlled by the person wanting to be there.
Okay,
absolutely. So, you know, people have all kinds of stories. I just stepped out for a glass of water, and then he died. How
mm-hmm.
could he have died while I was out of the room? Now I feel sad that he was alone when he died.
And then they start blaming themselves. How could I be so selfish to have to go
absolutely.
Get water and all that?
And let me just assure you, that person needed for their death process to be by themselves.
Yeah.
My mother did. She sent us away. She sent me as far away as she could, which was Italy. And I couldn't get back.
Wow.
And, you know, it's so I absolutely trust and know that.
Mm. You have written 14 books. Your latest is The Fabulous Friendship Festival, and you are also open to taking questions and comments from our listeners.
Oh, and I would love to hear from people.
So we would love to open up the phone lines and encourage you if you'd like to talk to Sark. Maybe you've spoken with her before, you've met her somewhere on the street and didn't know it was her, and maybe you were the one who said whatever it was that you said to her and didn't know this. You can certainly give us a call here, 879-5478, 879-547. We'd love to hear from you. Just give us a call here, and we will put you through to Sark and have you an opportunity to discuss with her how fabulous and succulent and bodacious and wonderful and my thesaurus. I can't. The pages are all stuck together. I can't find all the right
and
words.
I'd like to make a special invitation to the introverts that may be listening, because I myself am an introvert. And,
no.
You know, I'd like to invite you to call if you normally don't call such things, and call and talk to me. So, you know, it's funny, being an introvert, you know, people don't imagine that I am because I'm quite flamboyant and, you know, but these are all learned extrovert skills. And the introvert is just someone who needs to get by themselves to replenish their energy, and that's the only difference.
Well, I tell you, Sark, we actually have somebody on the phone lines here who wants to talk to you.
Oh, good.
And I'm one of the few talk show hosts who actually runs his own board. So I'm going to make sure that everything works here. And Jim, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm with you.
I'm glad you called. Sark is with us on the phone lines here on a Tell Me Your Story Saturday. What have you got to say?
I say, first of all, thank you so much for taking my call. I'm here with my girlfriend, Osha.
And we love you, Sark.
Oh, thank you. It's Osha, and what's your name?
Jim.
Osha and Jim, and we read all your books, and I came and met you at Borders years ago.
Oh, thank you, Jim. Thank you, Osha.
And I started a women's group when I lived in Sacramento. We called it Succulent Wild Women.
Oh, nice.
Well, fantastic. And you heard about this program, how?
Earlier in the week, a promo on 1340 Progressive Radio.
Well, wonderful. I'm certainly glad that you called in and had an opportunity to talk with Sark. Anything else that you'd like to share? Because, again, well, this is a party we're having here today, the Fabulous Friendship Festival. Any unusual ways that you have met people?
Well, any unusual ways I've met people? Well, I was shipwrecked once, and I met some natives by that way, and we've kept up a correspondence ever since.
Well, wonderful.
Wow.
We do exactly what Sark does. We talk to people everywhere. We don't hesitate whatsoever, and I think that's great advice.
Well,
oh,
wonderful.
I'm glad.
Well,
I hope of all the lucky people who get to meet both of you.
Absolutely.
And I have a question for Sark. What's in the newest book and the next book?
Oh, thank you. Yes, the Fabulous Friendship Festival is, I wrote it to have a combination of celebrations and challenges and then integration. Because what I noticed with friendship books, it was either one or the other, and I wanted to make it more of a blend, which is, of course, what friendships are made of. Then I also wanted to give people a way to practice integrating both celebrations and challenges. And then there's quite a large section on being friends with yourself. I'm finding that people don't know how to be friends with themselves, and they don't consider themselves their own closest friend.
Mm.
And so they're going outside of themselves to try to get what they think they need. And then, of course, as we know, circumstance and people's differences, you sometimes don't get what you need from other people. So I'm going to talk more about the self-friendship aspect in the show. But the other book I just finished, actually last week, is a book on writing, and it's called Juicy Pens, Thirsty Paper.
Oh, I like that.
And it's coming out in August of 2008.
Wow.
Yeah, it's
very
exciting.
Well, Jim and Osha, thank you so much for calling. Tell me your story.
I have one more question about the book.
What?
You mentioned your newest, well, I don't know if it was your newest book, but one of your latest books on grieving, and I have also lost my parents and many pets along the way. And if you could just mention one of the ways that you find, I think that you said, in addition to the grief, there's some pleasure or some benefit. And just thought I'd have you have the opportunity to share that with everybody.
Oh, yes, thank you. Glad for the grief, navigating with joy and gratitude, and remembering that, you know, I call them gifts of death. Which actually, coincidentally, of course there's no coincidence, but spells God. So G-O-D, gifts of death.
Mm.
And so what are the gifts that the grief is bringing you? And what are the gifts that the death of the pet, of the animal, or the person has brought you? And that's what I explored with both my mother's death and my animal Jupiter's death, and just discovered so many riches and just incredible incredible moments and stories, which are going to be in that book. I actually am going to self-publish that book, so I'll be announcing that on my website at planetsark.com.
Well, thank you, Jim and Osha, for calling, and it's exciting to have you folks listening to the program, as well as to have an opportunity to talk again with Sark, and keep making those friends. The more connections we make, the less opportunity we're going to have to be aggressive with one another if we're friends. I even went through a friendship that is still to this day, and I met my best my friend in sixth grade, and we went through grade school, high school, and college together. And I went through his dropping of classes in college together. That was a great deal of fun. It was so funny, too, because every semester that we registered, after the first or second or third day, he would drop a class. And so then the third term, he came to me and I said, so what's your schedule? He says, well, I went over there and I dropped the class. And I remember doing it years ago and over the course of time. And so then I dropped another one and it just kind of got into a roll and I dropped them all. So I'm not even enrolled anymore. So But we actually took a trip, cross-country trip, and had a little testy time during the trip regarding money.
Yes.
And it could have severed the friendship, but I made the commitment to him. I said, I realize we're not going to resolve this between us, so you know what? We're at zero, both of us, regardless of who owes who what, because I don't want to lose the friendship. And that has never gotten in the way.
Oh, beautiful, Richard.
And we're still friends to this day, and you know, it was funny, too. We were such good friends, even when his father died. Before his father passed, he made the comment to me about this, and I says, we were just kids in school, right? So I make the comment to him, and most people say, well, that was pretty rude. I said, am I invited to the funeral when your dad dies? Now, his mother is now in her 80s, and she's probably only a few months, maybe a year. She's a lot of conditions and so forth. But now I'm an adult, and I don't know, for some reason it just doesn't seem appropriate to ask that question, especially now because we're, 500 miles apart. But nonetheless, I always say, hey, my love to you and your mother, and if she does remember me, tell her I said hello, and I hope that she's doing well and so forth. So that friendship has lasted the test of time, and we've always had fun together. It's been great. And we're having fun here on Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan. My guest is Sark. Her latest book is Fabulous Friendship Festival, and you can get that at local bookstores. You can get that at her website, which is planetsark.com. Now, I think they should have renamed, was it Pluto that they took out a category and just renamed it Sark, That would have been a simpler process. You can also go to my website, richarddugan.com, go to the schedules page, click on Sark, and boom, takes you to her website. And after this interview is over, at about 12:30, you will be able to hear this interview again or share it with others by going to richarddugan.com, clicking on the page for the interviews. And that interview will be available for you to download and listen to as well. So richarddugan.com is my website, and planetsark.com, that's Sark's website. As a matter of fact, I wanted to dovetail a little bit off of what Jim and Osha were commenting and asking you about this latest book. And to me, that is an area, death and dying and grief and that whole area of human life that is so mystified and misunderstood that we create things that aren't really there, and we don't seem to be able to see the joy and the love, and all we're really able to see is the loss, the sadness. And it's, I think, partly due to the fact that we've really attached to that person or that being.
Yes. And we're forgetting that they're not just in physical form. We're thinking that, once their physical form is gone, that's the end of them.
Yeah.
And, we're forgetting that there's so much more, and there's, even if you don't believe that there's more, and I'm not even talking about heaven, I'm talking about, metaphysical, I'm talking about other places, I'm talking about parallel universes. It's all things I've experienced, and by the way, I would like to tell people that I'm teaching, Glad for the Grief. I'm teaching a workshop in Scottsdale this November at the Celebrate Your Life conference, which is November 9th through 11th, and there's information on my website about it. I'm also teaching a Fabulous Friendship workshop, so two workshops that weekend. I'm going to be joined by all sorts of fabulous people: Deepak Chopra, Carolyn Mace, Wayne Dyer. It's about 25 incredible speakers. It's one of my favorite conferences I do, and I'll be there for all three full days. And if you have any interest in coming to Arizona and joining us to celebrate your life, I really invite you to do so.
Well, and we would certainly encourage our listeners to do just that, because it's something that celebrating your life through all of the different speakers that are going to be there, including Sark, it's just a wonderful, wonderful opportunity for you to be a part of that.
And I have to interrupt you, Richard. I always laugh, too, when we get there. Whenever I arrive, here's the title, Celebrate Your Life. So, of course, everything unlike that comes up to challenge you, because let's make sure to tell people, Fabulous Friendship Festival, whatever other books I've written, have also, let's call it the shadow material.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say, that's why I wrote about challenges of friendships, because I loved your story about your friend, and let's acknowledge that some friendships don't work out. And, you can't resolve it, and the other person won't take it to zero. The other person carries a grudge, or they can't let go of whatever it was, or you yourself can't let go of whatever it was. So anyway, I always chuckle at Celebrate Your Life because, you know, there you are and there's things that have gone wrong or people that didn't show up or your equipment isn't there. And it's a challenge then to celebrate your life. And so how do we celebrate our lives when everything is going well? That's easy to do. It's more challenging when there are challenges, which we all deal with every day. And so what is your practice? And what are your self-love practices? And that's what I wrote about in the friendship book, all about self-friendship. Because when we have really strong foundations of self-love and self-friendship, not much can rock us off our center. And when we're subject to the outside and what other people think and need and want, then we are very rocked off our center. So I'm in an extensive practice of self-love at this time of my life, and I am happy to say that I am so absolutely in love with myself, and it's only taken 53 years, and I'm so glad to be living at this time and to be sharing what I've learned.
You know, it's interesting that you would say that because a lot of people would actually say the converse because they're looking at all of the other stuff in the world that we're not going to talk about here because what we want to do is encourage people to look at the good stuff, look at the pluses, look at all of the wonderful things that are happening in this world today that they can benefit from, including reading your books and having the opportunity to meet you, whether it's at a local bookstore signing that you might be at or at Celebrate Your Life in Scottsdale, November 9th through the 11th in Scottsdale, Arizona, and going to your website and reading a lot of the different things that are there. Matter of fact, I seem to recall reading something to the effect that in one of the articles that it's very difficult, if not impossible, to hate Sark.
Oh, yes. That's a columnist, and the title is Go Ahead, Try to Hate Sark.
And yeah.
He came over basically planning to hate me, and he said, he sheepishly admits in the article, and I fell in love with her.
Well, and there you go. there you go. And why would you even want to? I mean, come on.
Well, I know, but, you know, people, you know, and I have a lot of overly positive people annoy me. And let's just define what that is. If someone is mindlessly positive and constantly, you know, like you can't even say something that made you crabby or upset you because they're going to say, well, after all, you have, you know, and that becomes annoying. So it's all about the moderation, too, there. I mean, yes, let's look for the good things and let's magnify them and let's not forget that so many of the good things grow in the dark. They grow in the dark, and we don't need to be afraid of the darker emotions and the darker feelings. We can feel them. That's what they're there for. They're there to be felt. However, we don't need to dwell on them nor overly attach to them.
Well, it is, like I said before, it is an exciting thing to go through the process of developing the relationships that we do throughout our lives and to bring into our lives those people. My wife and I have stories of friends that we have made over the years that we've been together and the things that we have created together. I think that's, for me, that is one of the most astounding things is if you can establish, and I can only imagine what Jim and Osha must be creating with the people that they meet, because to me that is the greatest gift that you give to each other and yourselves is the things that you make together, whether they're real or imaginary.
Yes, absolutely. And also it's compound energy. You know, we talk about compound interest with finances, and we forget that we all have, first of all, we're all wealthy with friends. We all have large, what I call them, trust funds. You know, the friendships are our real trust funds because we can trust them. And so then we have compound energy where you're with someone and the combination of your energy makes more than if you were by yourself. And that doesn't mean you can't do that with yourself. But the point is we can do so much with our friends and with each other. Just what you just said, it's so exciting. I had a wonderful teacher of self-love this last year. I was in New York, and I checked into this hotel, and the manager came and joined me in the elevator to take me up to my suite. And there he was in the elevator, and I said, oh, you have such wonderful energy. I said, you're just beaming. And he just looked at me in this big smile and said, I know. He said, I'm just so in love with myself. And I almost fell down in the elevator because, first of all, we don't hear people talk about being in love with themselves. We're taught to love ourselves, but we're never supposed to talk about it.
Yeah.
And if we do, it's thought of as narcissistic or self-absorbed. And I'm not talking about either of those types of love. I'm talking about deep, unconditional love for oneself. And here he was displaying it. Well, I was glued to this guy. I was like glued. Every time I came back to the hotel, I had to see him and hug him because I got so high from his energy. And he actually, his statement gave me the permission I needed to start telling people how in love I was with myself. And believe me, it's a little bit scary. It's a little bit somehow mildly embarrassing. I mean, you know, and I start out my days now hugging myself, and it started with just a few, maybe 10 seconds, and it's now into 5 and 10 minutes where I'm hugging myself. And I'll tell you, I get up and I feel like I've been hugged by 20 close friends, and all my endorphins are raised up, and I feel so fulfilled and so ready to go out and meet others and give others that love.
I find it very interesting that much of what we talk about today may not be in vogue today, but within a few months or a year or two, people are going to be talking about, oh, yeah, I do that. You know, yeah, absolutely. Because it seems that that's kind of the flow of things, is that at first it's very uncomfortable. We don't even want to talk about it.
Yeah.
I love myself. I hug myself. I do these things for myself. And then over the course of time, as more people do it and they feel comfortable with themselves and so forth and so on, it becomes part of the norm. And that to me is very exciting because that says we are making a difference. We
yes.
are making a change in the world, and that's what we want to do.
Yes.
Absolutely. Tell Me Your Story is the name of the program. The book by Sark is fabulous. Friendship Festival. We got a party going on here, and we're having a lot of fun with it and with Sark. And you are invited to join us. If you have a comment or question for Sark, we'd like to hear from you. And our number here at Tell Me Your Story is 879-5478, 879-5478. And we would love to hear from you and give us a call, because this program is here for you. And I remember I was talking with one of the prospective guests down the road a few weeks ago when I was getting things going for the program. And I just made the comment, I said, oh, and by the way, this program is kind of therapy for me, too. So I get an opportunity to kind of get my screws tightened back down a little bit and or loosened, for that matter, I guess, and just have a lot of fun with it and go into the next week with renewed energy, renewed vigor, and a renewed excitement for whatever comes, and not, okay, well, here's what's coming. It's like I just... It's taken me a long time, and then there are days I struggle with this. I'm sure you do, too, with change.
Oh,
change,
my goodness.
Change is a tough one, you
know,
sometimes.
Anne, the author Anne Lamott, I always love her quote about change. She says, anything I've ever tried to let go of has claw marks on it. You know?
So when you learn to let go of those things, and that's the trick, isn't it?
Oh,
learning,
it's such a wonderful trick.
To retract the claws.
Yes, yes.
And
let
it
go.
I
had another wonderful teacher on my book tour in May when I was out on the traveling with the Fabulous Friendship Festival.
Mm-hmm.
I had the most marvelous woman open one of my book events with a ukulele and a song that she had made up. And she was warming up the group with this song, and the song went something like this. She said, if a tree falls on your house, everything was like this, and then the refrain was always the same. Get over it. If you're driving down the road and a tree falls on you, get over it. And she keeps on repeating, get over it, get over it. And I was laughing so hard, and this was something so good for me to hear, because I tend to get kind of fixated, and I tend not to get over things. And I'll tell you, it was a marvelous liberation. And let's tell people also they can call my Inspiration phone line. That's a free service that I offer. Free except for the toll charge, but lots of people have free long distance now. So it's 415-546-3742. It's 415-546-3742. And if you like words, it's 546-EPIC, E-P-I-C. I'm thinking of it because she called me on the Inspiration line to play that song for me because I asked her to. I said, I need to hear that again and again. I have about 10,000 people that call me every month from all over the world, and just like you said, it's very transpersonal for me. It gives me just as much as that I know that it gives others.
Yeah. I've heard of joke lines, and I've heard of information lines, but never an inspiration line. I think that's very cool.
Yes.
That's very cool. I like that.
Well, and you'll hear me on there. I'm singing, and I tell things that I've learned, and then I always ask listeners a question. I've had the line for 14 years, and it's been an exceptional opportunity for me to hear from my readers and hear what they're thinking and feeling, and I'm going to be doing some new things with that and with some podcasts and some other things that I'll be announcing on my website next year. So
wonderful.
I know, it's very exciting.
Have you ever had the experience in your travels, book tours and what have you, where someone walks up to you or runs up to you and basically is, it's not that they hate you, it's that they're frustrated that you're living in your own little dream world somewhere. Will you please come down to Earth and start seeing what's going on around you?
There's people all the time that would like you to see things through their eyes. You know, I'm disturbed about the world, and I'm concerned about the world, and you should be too. Well, it's very interesting. I mean, I'm an activist in many ways, and I do lots of things to help in all kinds of ways. And I am consistently optimistic, however. And some people are disturbed by that. Well, I could get disturbed by their lack of optimism. I find it very interesting that people can persistently portray something negatively where that isn't, I firmly don't believe that that helps anything. So, yeah, they've certainly had that reaction, and I know lots of people that have read my books have that reaction, or then I also know they haven't really read the books, because the books are filled with both the positive and the negative, and they're also filled with my admissions of what I haven't been able to do and what I'm still practicing and learning. And believe me, everything I've written is all things that I need to learn.
Hmm. Now, you're it's like your books are sort of you journaling as you go through your life and you're learning these things, and it's like this is Sark's open book about herself.
Yes, and even that being said, of course, there's still a lot that I've never shared, and I don't know that I will share. And people feel that I've shared so much. Oh, you've just told so much. And you don't know me at all, and I feel that I know you. And I say, aha, that's the difference, because I've always felt I know everyone. I've felt so close to people all my life. I've always been intensely psychic and very aware of people. And I felt like they somehow didn't have that, they weren't using that same gift.
Mm-hmm.
So I wrote my books so that they would feel like they knew me as well.
Interesting. A rather interesting tie-in, because what we like to do is kind of prep our audiences for the coming week, and next week we are going to have a special guest. Her name is Joan Sabinski, and she'll be taking calls from our listeners as well. So that's next Saturday here on Tell Me Your Story, 11 to noon here on 1340 Progressive Talk Radio. I'm Richard Dugan, and right now we're talking with Sark Fabulous Friendship Festival, and that is her latest work. I'm actually really looking forward to the grief, the book on grief, and how you look at that and the experiences that you've had. And I just want you to know that some of the things that you have shared with me off air, I have just found so extraordinary, and the things that you have experienced, hopefully maybe you'll share in this upcoming book. But the fact of the matter is that you're willing to share a lot of these wonderful experiences.
Oh, yes. Well, I feel like as soon as you share them, you get them back again. It's like experiencing things over and over, wonderful things over and over. That's the wonderful gift that everyone has. The more we share, the more comes back.
Mm. Moving forward is what it's about, really. And if you stand still, not much is going to happen to you. So you just have to keep moving forward and trusting that the universe will be guiding you in the right direction and placing in your path, along your path, those people and experiences that will help you to grow and change and fulfill your dreams. And again, that's what this program is about as well. You are traveling around. You're going to Scottsdale in November for the Celebrate Your Life seminar, I guess it is, or workshop, series of workshops there in Scottsdale, is that right?
Yes, two workshops. It's my last workshops of 07, and then I won't do them again till spring of 08. So, I love to stay home, so I do both. I travel and stay home. I go to about 8 to 10 places a year that I love, and the rest of the time I'm in San Francisco, which I adore, And it's a wonderful life.
And when you, it absolutely is. And when you, when I called you to set up the interview after so many years, I guess it was, since we'd talked, you told me that, well, I'm not available for certain dates because I'm taking, what was it? I thought it was 3 weeks or something, a month-long vacation.
Yes, I'm actually taking quite a few vacations now and taking a lot more time off. I've been writing a book a year since 1990. And I'm ready to have a different kind of schedule that has more travel time and more free time. So I'll still be writing books. It will just be on a different kind of schedule. Mm-hmm. And I just got back from a 1,500-mile road trip with my brother into Oregon, where we went to pick out his yellow lab puppy.
Oh.
And we picked him out, and his name is Otto, and he'll be coming home next weekend. So
how cool.
Yeah, it was really exciting.
Oh, my gosh. I remember when my wife and I were preparing to make our final decision to move to Santa Barbara and put the house up for sale and so forth, we were in a pet store and we came across this cute little shepherd, German Shepherd mix, a little puppy dog, and he had one of these curly tails that came over the top of his back, so I guess he has a mix of chow. And we saw him one Saturday, and my wife was just drawn to him, and it's like, well, but we're moving, so, you know, we'll see. And so we came back the next week. I figured the dog was going to be gone. Just the cutest little thing. He was there, and we didn't leave without him. And we got this dog. His name is Connor, and he is incredibly intelligent, very sensitive dog. You can't yell at this dog. You will upset this dog. But we got him even though I thought, you know, this is not a good idea because we're moving. We should wait until we get to our destination before we think about adding new family members. And yet it worked out wonderfully.
Oh, I love it.
Listen
to Connor.
Well, I listened to my wife and my intuition that said, hey, it's okay. It's going to work out just fine.
Yes, and isn't it true that we can all do more and different things?
Mm-hmm.
Like I tend to get kind of stuck in certain routines and, oh, I do it this way. And aren't our lives to be this big experiment, this big glorious, messy experiment where we change and do things differently all the time?
This is what we do here on this program, different things all the time. And I've been asked, can you send me a list of questions that you're going to ask me? And I say, no. Because I don't know what I'm going to ask you.
Well, good, because now I refuse to do that. I won't do it, and I will never do it again. Because where's the alchemy between the people and what's being said?
A lot of times you have to wonder, is that guy really listening to me? He keeps asking these questions, and I just answered it.
Yes.
You know, and I did that, tried it, didn't work for me, and so we do this. We just talk, and we open up the phone lines to our listeners in the last 9 or 10 minutes of the program at 879-5478, 879-5478. How do you like that segue? just roll right into the next segment there. But we want to hear from you, whether we hear from you on the phone line here today or during the broadcast here on Saturdays from 11 to 12, in the 11 a.m. to 12 noon, or whether you go to the website and listen to the interview and you send me an email at richard@richarddugan.com, or go to Sark's website at planetsark.com and talk with her via email and what have you. We want you to get involved in your own life and do some things that maybe you've never done before. I did hear this wonderful comment, and I'd like you to elaborate on this. This one gentleman said, if you do nothing more every day, make sure that you do not go to bed until you've done something different. And I remember he told this to an individual who shared this with him after the fact. He said, you know, you told me that. So one night I hadn't done anything different, so I jumped out the window of my home, which is on the first floor, and I ran around the neighborhood in my pajamas. He'd never done it before.
That's right. Don't you love that? So, I mean, what things can, you know, and it can be small things. Yeah. I have a friend who always wears two different color socks. So for him, something different would be put on two socks that match.
Well, and of course, even if he keeps doing this mismatched, he's always got another pair in the drawer that is another set that he can wear the next day.
It's so funny. It's so funny. My brother Andrew pointed out after Jupiter died, I was going to sit Shiva for Jupiter. And my brother said, well, but we're introverts, and so our Shiva would have to be the opposite, where we would have to agree to a schedule of activities, because Shiva is supposed to be you leave the ordinary world and you sit and have people come to you and you mm-hmm. would have to be the opposite people because mm. we're always staying in. So we'd have to be, our Shiva would be going out.
Hmm.
Isn't it funny to think of all the different ways we all are and how we could all and each do something differently?
And it doesn't take much either.
No,
it really doesn't.
And it can be very tiny, and it can take a very short amount of time. And people think, oh, I've got to go take a seminar that's going to last for a month, and then I'm going to have to practice every day. And first of all, our lives are just a big practice anyway.
Well, yeah.
So, you know, you can do, I'm always reminding people, you can do a lot of things in 5 minutes. And 5 minutes is a really nice amount of time for people with short attention spans.
Well, when people listen to the promotional announcements for this program on this station, what they're hearing is an ad lib. I've written nothing down, you know, and so I'm just ad libbing it, and what you're hearing is just me, blah, 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 you know.
Well, you must call the inspiration line because that's a 5 minute ad lib by me. So.
Yeah, but see, that's what we do all day long anyway.
Yes. I know, and that's what people want to hear. I mean, that's the authentic thing that people resonate to. We've all heard the canned speech. We've all heard the one where the person has rehearsed and rigidly mm-hmm. asked these certain things. We want to hear the real person.
Yeah.
We all want to hear each other being real.
Yeah. I'm sitting here looking. I'm thumbing through your book thinking, okay, this is the script. Wait a minute. You weren't supposed to say that, Sark. You were supposed to say, and then I respond with, it just doesn't work that way. It really doesn't work that way. And what does work is just to let it flow and trust that you're going to be drawn to and taken to, inspired to do this and that and the other. The hard part, Sark, I would say, is, and I ask your comment on this, is not so much doing those things. It's taking the risk to do them if they're outside of your normal routine, your comfort zone, your safety bubble.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And I give myself permission all the time to do the things outside my comfort level.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because we all have different comfort levels. And some people wouldn't be afraid at all to go up to talk to someone that they didn't know. Others are very afraid. I just did something in Alaska in July. I went on a zip line 360 feet above the rainforest in the tree canopies from one platform to another, 10 platforms, each one being longer than the next. And I was absolutely terrified, not of the heights, but of the instructions and all the things that could happen if you didn't do it correctly. And I did it. And it was extremely outside my comfort zone, and I'm so glad I did it. And it was a great picture of me on my website in one of my e-letters of me with a helmet on, grinning my face off, because I did the zip line.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That is, I would, one of these days, skydive. I mean, you know, it's that and go fishing out in the ocean. I mean, now I live right by the water, and so that opportunity is certainly there.
Now there's so wonderful things on the Internet where you can make a list. There's websites that help you make a list of all the things you haven't done yet, and then you read other people's lists, too. And if you just type into a search engine, you know, list of things to do, you'll find it. But it's so funny, you know, that someone wrote that book, Things to Do Before You Die.
Mm-hmm.
A Thousand Things to Do, A Thousand Places to See Before You Die. And I picked that book up and showed it to my brother, and I said, do you mean I'm going to die?
Well, yes, but not today.
Or we don't know.
We don't know.
You know, I like
That's
to say,
true.
Some say life is short. I say life is tall. Grab a straw.
Well, I prefer to think of it that way myself, and it's an exciting thing. We just decided at one point after being here for a little over a year, you know, I need to get this show on in Santa Barbara. Had it on in Phoenix and was doing these programs, and people really enjoyed it. Got to get it on in Santa Barbara, and well, guess what? Here we are, and having a great time doing it too. And people are really enjoying it. I've actually received a few emails from folks who are saying it's great that we have a program like this on in Santa Barbara for folks to, again, have those. This is the other thing too, Sark. Is a lot of people, even if they knew the choices, maybe they're afraid. But there are those who don't even know that they can do these things. They know they don't even realize they have the freedom to do them.
Yes. Yes, and people develop amnesia, and I call it adventure amnesia, where they're not even remembering they're not having adventures, but they know something's missing.
Yeah. Well, I have to say that it is exciting to do live radio because you're never 100% certain that you're going to get your guest, whether they're in studio or on the phone, no matter how much you've confirmed, because, you know, phone lines go down and so on and so forth. And so you have all your wonderful backup plans. Well, life, sometimes you can sort of create those things in life. You can have backup plans, but you really just kind of roll with the flow, and it works out so much better when you learn how to retract the claws and you don't leave scratches on those things that you own or are attached to, and just let them go and let it be.
Yes, yes, and flow, and being someone who tends towards control, I go between flow and control. And I'm learning now at least to spend some more time in the flow and just loving it and loving myself. And I really invite everyone to love themselves and to boldly say, I am so in love with myself.
My wife said about your book a wonderful thing. She thought it was so wonderful that you actually had pictures of people in the book.
Oh,
yes. She thought
yes.
That was so cool.
I love doing that.
Yeah.
I love having profiles and, you know, putting the pictures and other people's stories in my book because they're all part of my book.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you for being a part of our program today. We're about out of time, and again, I want to remind our listeners, the book is called The Fabulous Friendship Festival, and you're listening to Tell Me Your Story. My guest has been Sark, and again, I want to thank you for joining us, and I hope that you will join us again in the future.
Yes, and she's still Sark. She not only has been, but she still is.
Still is, and will be as long as she chooses to be so. And we
talk
will continue.
You, Richard, and say hi to Connor.
I certainly will. If you'll stay on the line, and I'm going to talk to you in just a moment.
Okay.
I'm Richard Dugan, and I thank you very much for joining us here on the program. Have yourselves a wonderful Saturday.